Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 1010, you'll be in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And I want to talk to you today about stress. I want to talk about stress. All of us, from time to time, deal with stress. At least I think I'm safe in saying that. I certainly do. I don't personally know anybody that doesn't have stress. You know, stress is that feeling inside, like pressure, tension. And, you know, there are a lot of different sources and reasons that we experience stress. Of course, sometimes it's just a situation. We get in situations, and we just have that pressure feeling, that tension feeling. I received late yesterday afternoon a text from one of our wonderful fine church families that has been dealing for quite a while with cancer. And the report yesterday was not what they had hoped, and certainly none of us had hoped. It doesn't mean there's not hope, but it just means that the treatment that was being given was not working. And I knew they were going to know that yesterday because I had texted them to say, I'll be praying for you as you go to find out. And they were telling me, like, what the next plan was. And I read the text. And actually, I didn't read the text till early, very, very early this morning. I didn't check my text last night. You know, the phone can just give you stress. I mean, you know, emails, texts, phone. But I read the text the wife sent, and I just could feel the need there. And I text back this morning and said, well, we'll just change our direction of prayer for this next treatment. And then I said, could Dottie and I, would it be okay if we came by just briefly tonight and had prayer? And the response to that was, it was just like, you know, you bet you can, but I'm just simply saying, whether it be that or whatever it be, people have a lot of things, situations, we all do from time to time, that make us feel stressful. It's not just situations, sometimes it's somebody. Do you know any people like that? You know, just to be around them. Now, like, I'm going to make a statement that is impossible to make, but I can do it. Put politics out off the page. I know that's impossible in this climate we now live nationally. Let's just forget it. So I'm not being pro or con. I'm just saying, like, to go eat a hamburger with Donald Trump would give me stress. Now, that's not saying anything about I've just said his personality would stress me out. Surely he can't be like that all the time, or he never would have gotten Ms. Trump to marry him. He must have a side we've not seen. But anyway, but we didn't hire him for his personality. We hired him, if I can say it that way, to lead our country. We need to pray for our country's leaders, do we not? Let me stop a moment and say, we're dealing with a lot of difficult situations in the world today. This situation in North Korea, the guy's crazy, and crazy people do crazy things. And we do need to pray, not just for our president, but for our Secretary of Defense and all those that would be involved in that. Now, I'm stressful thinking about it. But anyway, well, what's the solution to stress? Well, I'll tell you where the solution is. The solution is in the Bible. He said, well, I knew you was going to say that. Well, it is in the Bible, and it's in the Bible several different ways. And one way that it's in the Bible is when you read the biographical stories of people in the Bible. You read these stories, and you see how they dealt with situations, and it's like a roadmap for us. If you look with me, and you're on page 1010, you're, I hope, in Romans chapter 15. And if you look down quickly in verse 4, the Bible says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that's a key word, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And there's a parallel passage to that. You might, if you could just put your hand where we are and go to the right, it won't be very far, but go over in the very next book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul also deals with this very same matter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud as they passed through the sea." Now, he's talking about the children of God as they were leaving their Egyptian bondage. They were under a cloud, pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to show them the way. And that's who he's alluding to. And then he says in verse 2, "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." It means they identified with Moses as their leader. They said, "He's our leader, and we're going to submit to his leadership." Now, they grumbled a lot about it, but that's another sermon. Verse 3 says, "All ate the same spiritual food." He's talking about the manna. "All drank from the same spiritual drink," talking about the water that God provided for them. And then in verse 5, he said, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." I'll come back to that. Well, I'll just deal with it right now. This would be a good sermon. I need to preach on those, but let me just show you something. You might whet your appetite. If you look in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, you see the word "all." Like in verse 1, it's there twice. Verse 2, it's once. Verse 3, it's once. Verse 4, it's once. But when you come down to verse 5, it says, "But most." Doesn't say "but all" now. "But most of them, God was not well pleased. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now, the "alls" in verses 1 through 4, they were privileged. They were privileged because they were God's children. But when you get down to verse 5, most of them perished because they didn't obey God. Only Joshua and Caleb made it to the promised land. So that's very interesting. But in verse 6, this is the verse that parallels our verse back in Romans. In verse 6 says, "Now these things became our examples," talking about all these that had lived before, "to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Well, go back where you have your hand in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. You see, the example of people's lives in the Old Testament, as we read in the Bible, those examples do two things. Number one, they teach us. If you look in Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatever things were written before, written for our learning." So as you study like Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, all these people that we read about as we read through our Bible, they're not there just for history's sake. They're there also to teach us by example. We learn by example of these different people in the Bible. You know, it's a wise thing to learn from your own experiences. And human nature is not very good at that. You know, we do not do well learning from history. We kind of make the same mistakes over and over. But it's even wiser to learn from the experiences of others, and it's far less painful. Like the school of hard knocks. Have any of you ever been to that school? Yeah, that's not a good school. You know, you want out of there as quickly as you can. But, of course, that's one of the ways we learn. But we can learn by the experiences of others. You know, I love to study the Bible, but I try also to study people. Not to judge them, but to see how they handle these things. Like the family I mentioned earlier. We've been dealing with this situation for quite a while, but I've been trying to encourage them and guide them in scripture verses that will be helpful for what they're going through. But the way I've learned more from them, I'm sure, than I've taught them. Just you learn seeing how people handle certain things, and you say, what a wonderful thing that is. Well, that's one of the things these biographical stories do. They teach us, but not only that, they encourage us. If you look in verse 4 again, it says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning," to teach us, "that we through the patience and comfort." Actually, that word could and is in other translations translate as encouragement. That's the idea. We are encouraged as we read about how they handle things. And of course, as you read the Bible, If you want to be encouraged, if you want to see how to handle stress, if I want to see how to handle stress, the role model is really not the Apostle Paul, yet he would tell us much and teach us much by his example, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the very best example of handling stress. Like when you think about Jesus, he had grueling demands on his time. You know, sometimes we all feel, you know, just so many demands, so many things you need to get done. It's kind of, I thought about this last week. Like we had July the 4th, you had a holiday. And I loved the holiday. I did. But like somewhere in that holiday, I lost a day. And like in the church office, everybody was saying, you know, you're supposed to have had this ready yesterday. And I thought, well, I was off yesterday. And about Thursday, I was about to have a breakdown. I thought, that's what led me to this Bible study today. But Jesus never had a breakdown. He had constant interruptions. You know, interruptions can really stress you out. Would you agree with that? Say amen. You know, you'd be trying to do something and you have this little interruption. Well, Jesus handled that. He had a little time of his own, but yet he was never in a hurry. Always, as you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, listen, you talk about a person in a difficult situation. And I'll say this in a moment or two. Some are already saying, yeah, but we're not Jesus. Well, that's a given. I mean, obviously we're not Jesus. You say, well, he handled all these things because he was God. He was man, he was God, he was both. Well, that's true, but we can move better to that level. I'll never get to where I handle stress like Jesus handles stress, but he's our role model, and like I'm here somewhere, he's way up here. I'll never get up here, but I think I can do better than where I am. Don't you think you could really do better than where you are? Let me give you some stress management principles that I think will be very helpful. And we see them in the life of Jesus. Number one, I'll tell you, this will handle stress. It'll help you. Know who you are. Now, Jesus knew who he was. And you see it over and over in the Bible. I jotted down just some statements Jesus made about who he was. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the Son of God. I'm the way and the truth and the life. Jesus knew who he was. Many people don't have a clue who they are. Now, see, if you know who you are, then you know who you're not. Now, that's the kicker right there. If I know who I am, then I know who I am not. And see, if you want to be stressed out, you try to be who you're not. God didn't make you to be who you're not. God made you to be who you are. Now, he made you and me to be the best of who we are we can be. So it's not a cop-out. But the point I make is a very, very good point. If we try to be somebody we are not, well, that's a very stressful thing. Or if we try to do something that we really can't do, we're not gifted to do that, it will just stress you out. I like to say it this way, stay in your anointing. Now, that's a sermon for another time. But, you know, we all have God's anointing to do certain things. And we have to do things oftentimes. We have to do some things that maybe are not exactly in our anointing. But we don't want to just live there. And I've learned this, when I live doing things that are not in my anointing, that's when I really get stressed out. If I can just stay in my anointing, do what God has created me to do and given me the gifts to do, I just do so much better. And so it will just help in a wonderful way. Another thing is, don't add things to your already full plate unless you take something off of your full plate. That, to me, has been very, very helpful. And there's a man in this room. I shall not call his name. He will know who he is. I hope. If not, well, he will. I'm just glad I stopped there. He gave me some of the best advice a few years ago that's really helped me a lot. And he's somewhat my age, near. And we visited one day. In fact, over these years, this man's given me good advice on three or four different occasions that have just meant so much to me. And he's not a member of my church. that is a stressful thing. I don't know why he's not a member of our church, but he's not a member of our church. But he's been a blessing to me. And one of the things he said to me, I think one of the last conversations we had, he said, you know, do the things that you think are important earlier in the day. Because as the day goes on, you'll tire and you won't be as good as you are in the early part of the day. And, you know, I've never forgotten that. And he's right about that. He's right about that. Because as the day goes on, you just keep adding stuff to your plate. It's kind of what happens. And it'll stress you out. And So I encourage, just know who you are. And if you know who you are, you know who you're not. And it'll help you. Now, let me tell you a second thing that'll help you. Know where you're going in your life. Now, boy, that'll help you. Know where you are going in your life. Many people have a clue. That's why they're stressed out. They're going this direction, that direction. They don't know where they're going. Now, Jesus is our example. He knew where he was going. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, "For I know where I came from and where I am going." You see, every day we need to try and live our life by our priorities. And if we don't, we'll live life by pressures. Now, you can't just live with no pressure. At least I've never figured that out. But I know what my priorities are. And if you know what your priorities are, it will just have a lot to do with where you go in life. There are a lot of good things that I said to a group that I was meeting with Sunday afternoon, a church, there are a lot of needs in the world, but a need is not a call. In other words, there are hundreds of needs in Houston, but God's not called me to lead my church to minister to 100 different needs in Houston or wherever else. A call is not a need. A need's not a call. You know, we need to see needs, and God will call us to do some and others do others. But, you know, people come to me and say, oh, here's a need. We ought to do this. Here's a need. Well, look, that drive a guy to Stressville. You know, everybody's got an idea of something we need to do, but we need to know where we're going. And the only way I know where you're going is ask God. Pray about it. Gather the facts and see where God leads you. But if you just keep adding things to your plate, it doesn't work out, and pressures from other people will really do that. Many times, we all ask to do a bunch of things, activities, whatever it may be, and you think, well, you know, do I want to trade 24 hours of my day for that, you know? Like last night, now let me say this right because you'll tell it. Last night, Dottie came in. I was in the living room reading, doing something, and she said, I recorded a good movie. Would you like to watch it? And I said, no. Now, I shouldn't have done it that way. But she, I said, well, I didn't mean it like that. But what I meant was I just didn't want to spend 2.5 hours of the rest of my day sitting in a chair watching a movie. I just thought I had some other priorities. She understood that. She didn't have any problem with that. She'll probably make me watch it tonight, and, you know, we'll get it. But, you know, she's done me the same. That's kind of the way that deal works. But I'm just saying, hey, folks, life is precious. Could we agree on that? And I don't just waste my life. I want to watch movies and do fun things, but look, I think I know where I'm going. I don't know every little jot and tittle, but I know the direction I'm going. And so that is a wonderful help to me. Now, having said that, and understanding that stress is a real thing in life, and all of us have stress. Sometimes I just speak for myself. Sometimes I handle stress better than other times. I've tried to figure that out, tried to study it. And I sometimes can connect the dots, but we all deal with stress. But, you know, it's just there's going to be stress in life, but the Bible has great examples for us and great instruction for us, not just examples in biographical stories of the people. Now, yesterday, I spent about half of the day, not quite, but almost half of the day, down at the medical center involved in medical tests. Now, that'll put a stress on a soul. You know, they could do all of that in 15 minutes, but they make you wait and wait and wait and all this kind of stuff. But in the process of all that, I took this little booklet that John's newest booklet, entitled Living on the Edge of Eternity. I thought, well, I've read this. I mean, it's just been given out to the church about 2 weeks ago, but I read the draft of it before it was even printed. But I just decided yesterday, in all my waiting time, that I was just going to read this book again. And so I just started right in the very first page, on the first page. And I read the whole book. And a thought came to my mind, and I'm sincere about it. I probably am too much coward to do it. I thought one of the best things that I could do for my whole church would be one Sunday morning, just come in, let Jimmy lead us in a short hymn, get up and have a prayer. Oh, we'd have to take the offering. Yeah, we're going to take the offering. We're going to do that. Well, you have to have an offering to run the place. But we can do all that pretty quick. And just stand up to preach and say, now, folks, this morning, what we're going to do, I'm not going to preach a sermon at all. We're not going to have any more singing. It's done. I've got the ushers, and they're fixing to pass this booklet out. Many of you have already gotten it, but I want everybody to get one in their hand. And so we do that. We can do that pretty quick. Now, what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to say we've got about 50 minutes left on the clock to do it. And I'm going to ask you to do something, seriously. I want you to take this book and just start on the first page. And I want you to read the book. There's plenty of time here to do it. Just read the book and think about what you read. And when you finish reading the book, just bow your head. Say whatever you feel led to say to God about what you've just read. Quietly get up and just go out. Everybody won't leave at the same time. Now, if I did that, the people would say, many of them would, I know them. Preacher didn't get up a sermon this week. He's got us reading books at the church. I could have stayed home and read the book. But if it stayed home, they wouldn't have read the book. You say, you're going to do that one Sunday? I don't know. But I tell you what, I just thought yesterday, God just said, you know, if you want to help your people, do anything you can to get them read this book. I handed this book to my doctor yesterday, one of my doctors. I got a lot of doctors. You know, everybody, you got a specialist for everybody. You used to just have a doctor. Y'all remember that? You went to the doctor. Now he refers you to this doctor. Then that doctor refers you to this doctor. But I stood right face to face with my doctor. Yes, my main doctor, who's not a Christian. He's a Jew. And I said to him, hey, on page 10, I've circled your names in this book. John wrote it, along with some other doctors. He said, you kidding me? I said, no, right there it is. And I said, you know, you and I have been friends a long time. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to take this book and start on the first page and just read this book. Will you promise me you'll do that? And he said, you have my word. And I know that man. I tell you what, now today when you leave, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You'll thank me for it. Out in the commons, they've got all these booklets. I wish seriously you'd pick up one of these booklets. You get more if you want them. But somewhere this week, let's do it this week. Just find you about 30 or 40 minutes and get alone somewhere in the house. If your wife comes in and says you want to watch a movie, say, darling, not at this moment. I'm spending time with God, and she'll leave you alone. And read this book. I'm going to tell you what. Long after you've forgotten every sermon I've ever preached, I'm going to tell you something. This is the most powerful thing on where all of us are in life and where all of us are going I've ever read in all my life. And the whole thing is like 43 pages, it looks like. 44, 45 pages, that's what it is. Father God, I'm not trying to be cute today, God. Yesterday, I read this book again. And I thought, hey, that's where I'm living. I'm living on the edge of eternity. God, that's where everybody in this room's living. We all are. And this booklet will help more people in a lot of different ways, stress being one of them. But God, it will bless people. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would encourage people that don't even like to read booklets. They'll pick the booklet up today, and they'll just find a little time before the week's over. Just read the whole book at one sitting, and the Holy Spirit, thank you, you will do your rest and best. God bless now all of us the rest of this day and week. Give us safety, and God, help us be a blessing and encouragement to people. In Jesus' name, amen.